Last week we looked at the life of a lady who came to faith in Jesus, who was an outcast living among outcasts according to the Jews. This man, on the other hand, is on the other end of the spectrum, and he is going to be a representative of King Herod. And also, the last one, Jesus had to go where the woman was in order to find her. In this story, we're going to find the man comes to Jesus to find him. So it begins in verse 46 of John chapter 4. Let's pray before we read. Lord God, we thank you for this copy of the scriptures that we're about ready to look at. God, you've given them to us for your instruction, for your edification, to straighten us out where we're off path, off course, to bring us to understanding of who you are and especially of who Jesus is. We pray that that would happen today as we read it. In his name we pray. Amen. So verse 46 through 54. It says, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to meet him and asked him to come down to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. So Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at about the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and also his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Now, we're going to look at this man's pathway to a saving faith. I haven't numbered these because it's not like these are steps along the way that everybody has to go through, because coming to faith in Christ is a journey. And so this is this man's journey, but it's similar to many people. And the first thing is, we see is there's information. And that is that you hear about Jesus. By the way, I encourage you to take notes. Those are in the listening guides in your bulletin if you need that. But it's when you hear information about Jesus. It says that at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee. So here he was. He had a sick son. He had heard about Jesus. This man was an official of the king, of King Herod, the Jewish king. And he obviously, because Jesus had been around for some time, he had started in Cana. We saw his first miracle there, according to John. In John's writings, he then went to Jerusalem for Passover. This man might have been in Jerusalem for Passover and had seen Jesus, or at least heard of the rumblings of those days. Because when somebody's walking around performing miracles, it gets people's attention and news can travel fast. Then Jesus went to the south, and now he's come back up to the north, back to Cana. And this man, he had heard the information about Jesus. He had heard that there was some new prophet out there who was performing miracles, and he had this reputation at least. And so that's where this guy was when he started. This story begins. And I heard a couple of stories recently about people that were like this, that they began their faith journey by understanding just information about Jesus. This man, there was a man who I'd heard about recently that wasn't religious. He wasn't even spiritual. And he wanted to learn about Jesus' lifestyle because he saw Jesus as a good man. He saw the way that he dealt with other people. He'd heard those kind of stories. And so he's like, I'm going to investigate who this man Jesus is. And so he studied the scriptures and started studying the life of Jesus. And so he saw a way, a lifestyle that he could pattern his life after that would actually help people. But the more that he studied the life of Jesus, the more he saw that Jesus just wasn't some normal person. And he came and he went further and further and came to faith in Jesus. The second one was a story of a lady who was in incredible financial trouble, was in debt, couldn't control her spending, didn't know how to get a handle on her finances. And so she came across a book written by a Christian lady on finances. And she said, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, and I'm not into this God stuff, but I'll listen to what this lady's got to say. So she got the book, started reading this book, and she said that except for all the God talk in the book, it was very helpful. And she started applying the principles and the steps that this lady was teaching about how to get out of debt, how to get your finances under control, and sure enough, her finances got better. But along the way, she began to investigate, say, well, if the finances are good for my life, what else might this God of the Bible have for me? And she got closer and started studying about Jesus and came to faith in Christ. A lot of people who come to faith in Christ, it starts with just information. Because some of you, as you've told me, you were basically born in a church. And so you just grew up knowing all about Jesus and that he loved you and that he was God's son, but a lot of people aren't that way. They just know, I've even met people that had never heard the name Jesus Christ. And so for many, it's just a source of information. But this man started this way. And some of you, maybe you're here today and all you know about Jesus is that he's got some connection to Christmas. Maybe you hear his name mentioned from time to time. But this is where a lot of people begin, at the very beginning of their journey. And this is where this man started. So then we see he moves along into inquiry, or you tell God about a need. So you have a need and you take it to God. Well, in verse 47, it says, in all Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill, and when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. At some point, your life, something happens in your life, and you utter the words, oh God, or God help me. You don't know why, you just do it. You don't have faith, you don't believe in Jesus, you just do that. You have a need that you take that to him in some way, form, or fashion. And you're like, I don't know if I should do that. Yeah, you should do that because that's what God encourages to do. Jeremiah 33:3 says, come to me and I will answer you. It is quite fine that you inquire of God and tell him your needs. If you have those. If you're listening to me right now, then I assume that you've at least come to that point in your life. I don't think you were just walking down the street and jumped in here to get out of the rain. But you probably at least are there today that you have an inquiry with God. You tell him about your needs. And then this man's story. So he is here. And Jesus, we can assume from all the accounts of him, whenever he went any place, the crowds would follow him. So this man comes from his home, comes to where Jesus is, and he finds Jesus. We don't know how long he had to wait to talk to Jesus face to face. If you've ever been to a conference of any kind and there's somebody talking and they have their little talk time, and then you might be able to get up to try to talk to them one-on-one, it can take some time. It could take a half a day. It could take at least several hours, maybe. We don't know. But he waited, and then when he got to Jesus, he said hello. He probably introduced himself, and he said, my son is ill, and I live in Capernaum. I need you to come with me to heal my son. Would you do that? He just simply presented that to Jesus. And then he moves from there, because things didn't go quite as he had anticipated, to desperation. This is when we turn to God during a time of despair. Now, here is a father who is desperate. He starts off by just taking a simple need to Jesus. My son is ill to the point of death. Could you come with me to my house and heal him? Now, nothing strikes at the heart of a parent like an illness to their child. And this is where this man was. And if you've ever had a child in that situation, you can connect with the heart of this father. His son, you know, probably out playing one day, then started slowing down, didn't have the energy that he did have. Comes up, parents probably felt his forehead, mom did. Feel warm. You okay? I don't know, I just don't feel really good. Okay, why don't you go in, lay down, take it easy, I'll make you some chicken soup, whatever they did back then. And you just take it easy for the rest of the day. Well, he was in there, mom goes in to check on him. Now he's asleep. Well, he never took naps. So they know something's wrong. She goes up to feel his forehead. Well, it's still hot. All right, so maybe get some cold compresses to put on his forehead. Goes in later. Now he's sweating. He's unconscious. They don't know what is wrong. There's no ER to take him to. There's no doctor to call to come visit. There's no injections to give him. There's no Walgreens around to go pick up something to give him. They're desperate because they don't know what's wrong with their child. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. They had their hand to check the temperature, didn't have even a thermometer to stick in his mouth to see that it was probably 103, 104. The points that where you, as parents, have gone, okay, time to go to the ER. Time to call the doctor. This guy's like, okay, his wife's worried, he's worried. You know, what have you done? Have you done everything you can? He tells his wife, yes, I've done everything I can. You know, I heard about this guy, Jesus. He's down in Cana, and they say he performs miracles. I don't know. Maybe I can just go and see if he can come back and, you know, get the doctor to come make a house call, basically. Let me just go see. So he gets on his horse because he's a representative of the king. He probably had a horse. He didn't have to walk everywhere he went. And he rides the 18 miles down to Cana to find Jesus. He finds Jesus. He waits to talk to Jesus. He tells Jesus of his situation. This benevolent man who cares for everybody, who takes time for everybody. And he says, my son is ill to the point of death. Please come with me back to my house and help him. And Jesus kind of gives him this answer that sounds kind of dismissive. It's like, whoa, I wasn't really expecting that. You ever taken a need to Jesus and you need an immediate response and there's no immediate response? And you're like, whoa, God, Jeremiah, you said I'm supposed to bring my needs to you. I'm supposed to tell you about my needs. Where's the response? Why aren't you just jumping on the back of my horse and going with me? Why aren't you answering this right now? The guy got desperate. We've all been there in our life with one thing or another. And that's where he was. And so he then insists that Jesus come with him. Look what it says in verse 48 and 49. It says, Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Now, that is a polite demand. He is giving Jesus an order, come down. But he's saying, sir, before it. So it's a polite demand. It's like, not, listen, buddy, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to throw you in the back of my horse, and I'm going to take you to my house. It's not like that. It's, you got to come with me, sir. I have to have you right now. You must come with me. He's desperate. And so, notice Jesus didn't push him away. Because Jesus wants us to come to him when we're desperate. Just because something's going on in your life and you pray about it once and you don't hear the answer you expect to hear, don't stop praying. Don't think that if you're in a situation where this is maybe the first time you've ever come to church and or you haven't prayed to God or opened up the scriptures for months, and then something happens in your life, don't think you can't go to God with that. If you're desperate, take it to him. Look what he says in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you're weak, when you're exhausted, when you don't know what else to do, go to Jesus. He will hear you. He will respond. Now, this is we usually get to that point. We usually come to Jesus in a time of desperation when we're at a breaking point. Someone we love dies. The funeral's over. We're sitting in silence, and the realization hits us that they're gone. And we cry out to God. After some time of treatments, a doctor delivers that very bad news that things didn't go as we wanted to. For ourselves, for a spouse, or a child. And then it hits us. And we get desperate. And we cry out to God. In the middle of the night, after our spouse serves us with divorce papers, and we're alone, it hits us. We're desperate. And we cry out to God. That's okay. That's the kind of point where this man was. We have a list of bills that need to be paid. They're stacking up, and we've been unemployed for months and can't find a job. We're desperate. It's okay. Cry out to God. See, that's when we let our guard down. We don't need God when everything's going okay. You know, God, I got this under control. God, I'm doing all right. I'm progressing in my field. I'm getting raises every once in a while. My relationship's good. God, my health is good. God, you can stay over there. I don't need you right now. So God says, okay, let me just let your security just kind of fall away piece by piece by piece to where you realize that you do need me. And God will do that with us so that we will call out to him. So here was this man. He was somebody that heard about Jesus. And then he went and he talked to him about his need. Now he's desperate. Then he moves on in another step of his journey, and that is trusting. Trusting is when you accept God's word without understanding it. You accept God's word without understanding it. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Now, Jesus had to come sit by the boy's bedside, right, to heal him. He at least had to come and say something to the boy or touch the boy for the boy to be healed, right? I mean, until now, it seems like that's the way that Jesus was healing people. But in this man's mind, maybe not. Maybe I can trust him. He says, to go, your son will live. I guess maybe I can believe in that. One thing, and God tells us in Proverbs 3:5, is that trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Because I can promise you, when you try to understand all the ways of God, you're not going to respond like he wants you to. Because lots of times he will show us and to do things that don't make sense to the way we live, to the way we think. But we just trust him. When Peggy and I moved to France, one thing we had to learn about the culture there was that you have to trust the signs. I don't mean the signs of people around us. I mean street signs. Directional signs. They have this great system, and that is that when you start heading in the direction somewhere, whether you're driving or you're in the airport or you're in a train station, doesn't matter where you are, you see a sign and you see it, an arrow that tells you to go this way to get to the place where you want to go, and you're okay, I'll go that way, and you're walking, and you just keep looking for more signs. And there'll be signs everywhere pointing to this thing and to that thing or to this city and that city. And you start to get nervous, like, well, where's the arrow that says go this way for where I want to go? But you trust it because it said go straight, and you just keep going straight. And when you're driving, you'll even get to round points like here, like we have here, and they have signs. And they'll have signs of cities off this direction or that direction or that direction. And then they have another one that says other directions. And so you go, well, I don't see mine there, so I guess I'm another direction. And you just go that way. And eventually there's a sign with your city or wherever you're looking for, it'll be there. And then you take that sign and you go. You just have to trust the signs. As an American, that was very difficult to get used to. I think it's kind of hard for us to get used to it with God, too. When God tells us to do something and we start doing it and we're doing it for a while, going, okay, God, but now what do I do now? Well, did I tell you to do anything different? No. But what should I do now? Maybe you should just keep doing what I told you to do before until I give you a different direction to go. That's the way he works. And this man, without understanding it, he was here, and Jesus just said, go. Your child will be healed. And he said, okay, I can go. Now, even though Jesus had never healed anybody this way, even though Jesus wasn't even in the same city as his son, even though Jesus didn't even know the name of his child, he trusted what he said, and he went. Can you trust God like that? Can you read the scriptures and hear him say something to you and go, okay, I don't know why this is going to happen, but I'll do it. We have to be to that point as we grow in our understanding of God, that we trust him. And the best way to do that is to be in the scriptures every day. And if you're not in the scriptures every day, if you never have been, let me encourage you to get the Bible app on your phone, or go to Bible.com and look and take access to that website. Should be, there it is on the screen. You can access this on your phone. You can access it on the internet. It's Bible.com, or it's the Bible app. You go there, and what your need is, you search for it. It pops up like over here on the left side of the screen, or here. This is what you'll see on your computer screen. What are you looking for? Are you anxious? Are you having stress problems? Whatever it is, you click on that, and it'll take you to Bible passages and weekly or daily Bible readings that will give you answers to those things, to give you strength to those things. If you need faith, it'll guide you in that way. So if you don't even own a Bible, go get this on your phone. You'll now have a Bible, and you'll have many ways of resources to help you to understand what God wants for you in your life. You're missing out on so much that God has for you if you only attempt to connect with him on Sundays, and you're not connecting with him through the week. You are missing so much, and you won't learn to trust him. You have to get in the scriptures daily and let those scriptures get into you. That's how he's going to guide you into life. That's how you're going to come to trust him. But then this man goes on into another step of his pathway is obedience. And that is you follow God's directions for you. So not only did he believe that his son would live, but Jesus said in verse 50, go, your son will live. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Jesus said, okay, we're done here. You can go and your son will live. The guy's like, oh, okay, see you later. And he just left. So he's going to go back home. Okay, guys, listen to this. His son's sick at home, right? At the point of death. And he's going to come back home, 18 miles, on the horse. Get back there. He's going to walk in the house. Hey, honey, where's this Jesus guy? Oh, I didn't bring him home. He didn't need to come. What do you mean he didn't need to come? No, it's okay. I figured out. He and I talked. It's going to be okay. Guys, taking a big risk, right? You know, when I'm in Walmart and Peggy has sent me to buy something and I find somebody and I say, I can't find this thing. Can you help me? Well, it should be over here. It's not here. But you know what? You could buy this. It'll do just as good as that. I'm like, whoa, time out. I got to call my wife. I can't make this decision. She told me to come here and get this brand, this color, this many count. I can't get any substitutes. So this guy's going to go home without Jesus, the miracle worker. He was being obedient. He trusted what Jesus said. Even though he had no idea how it would happen, he leaves. He leaves. He walks away from Jesus. He walks away from the only hope. Because why? Because Jesus told him to. There'll be times when God tells you to do things and you need to be obedient. And you're going to go, I don't know why I'm doing this. This doesn't make any sense. I'm trusting you, God, at your word. And I will be obedient to do it. And then, therefore, he can leave Jesus behind. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Many people, until you understand Jesus, until you have a relationship with him, you think that God's commands are there to keep you tied up and to restrict you. And what you learn is, after you start obeying him and following what he tells you to do, you realize, no, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And you begin to understand his love for you because his commandments are there to help you, not just to restrict you. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's not good enough just to come to church. It's not good enough just to sit in a Bible study group. We have to apply the word to our life. You know, people say seeing is believing. Well, with Jesus, believing is seeing. When we believe and we act on it, then it will come to pass. You don't have to understand everything he does. Just know clearly to just do what you clearly understand him that he tells you to do. You don't have to understand the why. You don't understand how. You don't have to understand all that. Well, Jesus said to do this, I need to do this. And then he does something else here. There's validating. And that is you acknowledge God's work in your life. It says, as he was going down, so he leaves Capernaum. I'm sorry, he leaves Cana to go back to Capernaum. It says, as he was going down, his back home, in other words, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So let's have enough honesty and integrity that when God does help us, that we acknowledge that. And we don't just mark it off to chance as something else that happens. And let's give him credit. Let's give him thanks for that. Story of 10 lepers that were healed in Luke 17 at verse 14 after Jesus healed them. It says, as he healed them, it says, when he saw them and said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God in a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So one out of the ten came back and acknowledged, Jesus, what you said was true. We were healed. Thank you for healing us. Let God know that. By the way, connected to last week's message about how God, for some reason, points out to us and to the Jews that were reading these scriptures, the fact of where the Samaritans were, he points out that this one who came back was a Samaritan. So this man went from knowing about Jesus to talking to him about a need, to revealing to him his desperation, to trusting his word, to obeying what he said, to admitting that Jesus was the one who healed his son, to then having saving faith. That's when you believe in Jesus to cover your sins and give you new life. Saving faith. It says in verse 53, and he himself believed and all his household. Now that's different than believing his son was going to be healed. That is when he had heard that Jesus was the Messiah, that people were talking about this was the Messiah, and the Messiah meant the one who was going to come to atone for our sins, the one who would die for our sins. He and his whole household believed this. That's what that indicates. And this is the best part of the story. This is why Jesus healed his son. This is the goal of all that Jesus did, was that people would believe and be saved. Not just to have kids that would run around for another 40, 50 years and then die again. It was so that people would come to have believing, life-changing, eternal faith in him. You believe Jesus to cover your sins and to give you new life. Look what it says in Acts 16, 30 and 31. It says of a guy that had, he was a jailer, he was guarding this cell, and God did a miracle by creating an earthquake and releasing the believers from the cell. They talked to this prison guard, and it says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And when it says you and your household, it doesn't mean automatically your household will be saved. What it means is everyone under your sphere of influence, as they come to faith, as you've come to faith, they will believe. And they all did. This man went from being a good standing official of the government, a bureaucratic man, a representative of the king. He had power. Where he went, people listened to him. He had status. Hearing about this prophet named Jesus from Nazareth, who walked around telling good stories to one who could be trusted to provide him salvation for him and his whole family. Not just to heal his son, but to give him eternal life. Where do you stand with Jesus? Have you come to that place, that final place with Jesus? Because what happens after you receive Jesus? With Jesus, you get 24 access to the throne of grace. You can come anytime for any reason. 7 days a week, you have a companion for the rest of your life. 365 days a year, you have security about your eternal state, so that no matter when you die, you'll know you'll be with him forever. Let me ask you to bow your heads and to consider what your next step would be after hearing this message. In your message notes there, you can fill that blank out, or you can just have a time. We're going to have a time, a few minutes here, where you can just focus on God and say, God, what is my next step? If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let me ask you, what is one thing you can do to move forward in your faith journey? Maybe those, that pathway, you've identified yourself somewhere along that pathway, but you haven't come to the place to believe in Jesus as your Savior. Where are you along that pathway, and what can you do today to take another step, to move further along that pathway? We're going to stay seated, and just as the music plays, I'm just going to invite you to, if you want to, you can stay where you are, but if you also, if you just want to come up front and kneel here to pray, you can do that. Maybe you've got something, a burden that you're weighing on you that you just need to bring to Jesus, you can do that. Maybe you have another need you just want to talk to Jesus about. Maybe you want to give Him thanks to validate something that He's done in your life that you've been holding back. And you can just come up here and pray and tell Him that. I'm going to be down front. You don't have to come talk to me, but if you do want to talk to someone, then you can just let me know and I'll get somebody to talk with you before you leave here today. Especially if you want to come to know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, you can come down and let me know that. If you want somebody to pray with you, just come down and let me know that, and we'll get somebody to pray with you. If not, you just stay where you are and just have this time of prayer together. Father God, we thank You for Your grace. I have no idea how anybody can read the Scriptures and see that You're a vengeful, angry God looking to strike people down. You are a just God. You are a holy God. But God, in every way you deal with us, it is full of grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that it extends to us far beyond what we would give to each other. God, thank you for this man's faith, for Jesus, for you coming and saving his son, but God, saving this household because of Jesus' death and their faith in that. Teach us through your word, increase our faith, that we may walk in complete obedience to you. In Jesus' name.